Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Monday, April the 15th. Absolutely beautiful day here in North Texas. Of course, this is tax day. So if you have not finished your taxes, you better do it today. You better put it in the mail today or do it online today. But you got to do it today. There's no more deadline. This is the deadline. And you better do it today. Speaking of that, I went to the post office today to do some business. When I walked in, I said, what am I doing in the post office on April 15th? I was going to walk out. But then I looked inside and there wasn't anybody there. There were no lines. And I was really quite surprised because in previous years when I've gone to the post office on April 15th, I mean, it's like the lines are outside the door. There's all kinds of people there hoping to post their letter on April 15th. So I don't know what happened. Maybe a lot of people did it online. Maybe a lot of people have already done it. I don't know. But this looked to me like a normal day at the post office rather than a typical April 15th that I recall from previous years. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about the Democrats, who I think are doing way too much investigating. And we're also going to talk about the Mexico caravans. And I just don't think Mexico is doing enough to stop these caravans. But I want to begin with, obviously, the story of the day, which is the fire in Paris. If you have not heard, the Cathedral of Notre Dame, one of the great symbols of not just Paris, but the Catholic Church and one of the great historic symbols of Europe, has gone up in smoke. I mean, it's just stunning to see how quickly that beautiful cathedral has gone up in smoke. I mean, I don't know how much they're going to be able to salvage. I don't think a heck of a lot. At the moment, as I understand, they're trying to see if they can save some of the works of art and some of the paperwork inside the cathedral. But I mean, it is just painful to watch this on television and to see the scenes of this amazing, majestic cathedral in Paris. I have not been to it, but I've seen pictures. I've talked to people who've been to it. And, you know, it's just amazing. It's just something that you cannot believe would ever go up in smoke, but apparently it did today. Now, there's going to be plenty of time to ask questions about what happened and what didn't happen and what should have been done. At the moment, I think it's too early for that. What we do know, though, of course, is the damage to the cathedral itself, and perhaps even more damaging, the many papers. As I understand, there are papers in that cathedral that go back 800 years, papers about the history of Paris, and that is just absolutely sad to see that kind of heritage, if you will, go up in smoke. So we'll give the Paris government and the authorities in Paris an opportunity to look into this. But, you know, my question, and I'm not being critical when I say this, but my question is, how could such a facility of this magnitude with so much heritage and so much history be so vulnerable to a fire? I understand it's wood. I understand there's paper in there, and I understand a fire can happen. But the fact that it looks like it took a long time for the firemen to get there, I don't know. There's just something very strange about what happened today. Again, time will answer all these questions. I don't want to get into the blame game. That's not what I'm here for. I'm just stunned, absolutely stunned, how something like this could happen and how there wasn't a better protection system inside this cathedral to prevent something like this, maybe internal water systems, I don't know, something like that, that could have prevented or at least mitigated the damage. But it is sad. It is really sad to watch that cathedral just go up in smoke, just like that, just go up in smoke. You know, people are trying to compare it to 9/11, but 9/11 was a terrorist act. I mean, who could have foreseen two airplanes flying into a couple of buildings? I mean, that was a bit outside of the radar. But this, a fire, I mean, yes, a fire can happen when you have that much wood and that much paper. So I don't know. We'll hear about it, I'm sure, over the next couple of days. Again, I'm not trying to be critical. It just pains me a great deal to see one of the great symbols of the Catholic Church just go up in smoke like that. It's just absolutely stunning. Well, let's talk a little bit about the topic today, which is the Democrats. The Democrats are really going down a very bad trap here. President Trump is setting a trap for them, and they're going right in head first. And that is all these crazy investigations. Now they want 6 years of his tax returns. I mean, it seems like every committee in the House is investigating Trump or somebody in his administration. And I think the Democrats are making a huge mistake here because, let's face it, they do not have a majority because a bunch of people went to Washington to investigate President Trump. On the contrary, they have a majority because a bunch of people said, send me to Washington and I'm going to work with Republicans to fix problems. Unfortunately, that wing of the party, which represents about 25 or 30 seats, the reason that they have a majority, that wing of the party is being left out. And the three ladies, the lady from the Bronx, the lady from Michigan, and the lady from Minnesota, those three ladies who are very radical and very leftist are becoming the face of the party. The fact is that they are completely outmaneuvering Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who looks like, you know, she hasn't seen anything like this before. She doesn't know what to do. She has no idea how to handle these three ladies because, you know, they can just tweet all day long and say this or say that about the speaker. So the Democrats have deep internal problems. And if they think that they're going to get out of their problems by investigating President Trump rather than governing and getting some things done, if that's what they think, I think they're in for a big surprise. I really do. I think they're in for a huge surprise, and they may find themselves back in the minority in a few years. Because, look, you know, in 2020, I should say, the Democrats have a majority because a bunch of people said, vote for me, and I'm going to go to Washington to get things done. And in 100 days, they haven't done a darn thing. They haven't made any proposals. They haven't done anything other than investigate Trump. And now the Mueller report comes out on I guess, Thursday. And you know what that's going to do? They're going to go crazy with the Mueller report, trying to say that behind every redacted bit of information, there is some great mystery. Look, I hope somebody can get to the ears of the Democrats, but they're just positioning themselves right off track, and they're going to derail back into a minority status if they don't begin to realize that this is not what the country wants. There was a Mueller investigation. It didn't find any collusion. It's time to move on. It's time to move on. And if the Democrats think that the country wants this, man, they're kidding themselves. And I mean, they're kidding themselves very badly if they think that this is what the country wants. The country doesn't want this. Believe me, they don't. They want something done about health care, etc. And we're not hearing that. We're going to take a little break. I want you to hear from one of our sponsors, and we'll be right back. Let me put in a quick word here from my friend Carlos Geddes, who is a musician here in the Dallas area. We have a link to Carlos' website. You'll see a copy of his schedule. He goes around town. He plays here and he plays there. He's a wonderful human being as well as a great musician. And wherever he goes, you're going to find out two things. The food is great and the music is absolutely fabulous. So check out his schedule. And the next time you're planning to go out to eat, go to one of the places where he's playing. Again, you're going to love the food, and you're going to love the music. Well, another big issue that we want to get into today. I have a post about this over at the American Thinker on Monday morning, and that's about the role that Mexico is playing in these caravans. You know, for a long, long time, Mexico was very tough on illegal immigration. I mean, you just didn't go through Mexico. If you were from Central America and you wanted to go to the United States, going through Mexico was not going to be pretty. You were going to be stopped. You were going to be deported. You were going to be sent back. And in some cases, you know, there are plenty of human rights abuses of people, particularly young women or women in general, who were raped and so on. So crossing Mexico was not a pretty thing to do if you were a Central American or, frankly, anybody from another country trying to get to the United States. It seems that right now Mexico has really loosened up its rules or its controls, and people are coming into the country. Just a few days ago, there was an incident where a bunch of people just broke through the police line and ran into the country. And later we learned that they're not just from Central America, they're from different parts of the world. I mean, there's people there from lots of countries. They're not from Central America, and that's something that has to concern Mexico going forward. I'm not exactly sure what is driving this or what is the motivation here for Mexico. I have talked to many of my friends in Mexico who are in total shock, and they're saying, we don't believe what we're watching. You know, we don't believe this. For years, Mexico had been very tough on illegal immigration. We don't believe what we're watching. So I don't know what Mexico is doing. I don't know what is creating this change of policy, because I don't think this is helping Mexico. And I can tell you, I'm not suggesting that, you know, I've done a scientific survey of Mexican public opinion, but I've spoken to enough Mexicans of different political views, left and right, and nobody's happy with this. Nobody is happy with turning Mexico into an avenue for people from other countries to go to the United States. So I think President López Obrador better start listening to his people. I don't know how much what he's doing is a way of getting back at Trump. I don't know. I don't really understand what they're trying to do. But I can tell you it's not popular within Mexico. A lot of Mexicans are saying, hey, you know, if you want to get to the United States, find some other way to get up there, but don't walk through our country. Of course, the other issue, too, that I think is very troubling is that many of these people are traveling to the United States courtesy of criminal elements. In other words, there are people, criminal elements involved, organized crime and criminal elements involved in the transportation of these people. And that's not good for the people being transported, because I don't know what kind of a price, and I don't mean monetarily, but I don't know what kind of a deal, what kind of an arrangement these people are making, you know, once they get up here, and what kinds of commitments they have to the criminal elements once they're up here, if they have to pay or if they have to do this or they have to do that. So it's time for Mexico to get its act together and realize that these caravans, these people going through Mexico, are not going to be good for Mexico. Mexico, not Mexico in the United States. I mean, Mexico itself. The country of Mexico is not benefiting from this easy flow of people through Mexico to the United States. We're going to remember a couple of things that happened on this day in history, quite consequential, each one. It was on this day in 1865 that President Lincoln passed away. He had been shot the night before when he was with his wife. They were watching that play, and then he was brought across the street late in the evening, and he was put in a room there across the street, and he passed away early in the morning, about 7:30 Washington time, he passed away. And, of course, that had tremendous consequences for the country. Vice President Johnson became president of the United States, and, you know, Lincoln, of course, went on to have quite a place in our history. So the death of Abraham Lincoln on this day, April 15th, 1865. Over at the baseball front, on this day, April 15th, 1947, Jackie Robinson played first base for the Brooklyn Dodgers, becoming the first black man to play Major League Baseball. Now, there may have been others in the past. I've heard different stories about that. They didn't play officially as blacks, but they may have been on the rosters. But Jackie Robinson was the first one, what we call breaking the color line, and really not just making the game an American game by having everybody play, but I think that, you know, the introduction of black players into the major leagues in the late 40s and in the 50s and in the 60s was wonderful for the game of baseball. If you think of all the great superstars that came up in the 1950s, Frank Robinson, Henry Aaron, Willie Mays, I mean, just three examples of some of the greatest players of all time that came up in the 1950s after Jackie Robinson broke the color line. So we remember today Jackie Robinson playing first base for the Brooklyn Dodgers and changing the game of baseball forever, not just making it a national game, but making it a better game. I mean, there's no question that all these great black players made the game a much better game. Well, man, what a day. What a day. We're praying for what's happening in Paris. It's sad, very sad, to watch that cathedral go up in smoke. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas from an absolutely beautiful day here in North Texas. And we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.